You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. Just what is the abomination of desolation? We need to understand what it is in detail to escape the worst suffering ever coming upon this earth according to your Bible. The Bible says it is a sign of when God's very elect are to flee. But to flee from what? What is this all about? The Bible also explains and really defines and discusses the leader of that abomination of desolation. Christ personally talked about it when he was on this earth. He personally went into this subject, delved into it himself to explain it to us because it was so important for this end time. And those prophecies that Christ talked about are certainly being fulfilled today. There never has been a more exciting time to live, but also there's never been a more dangerous time than what we're living in today. We see Europe is in a terrible financial crisis. And what is going to happen there? The Pope has resigned, and we're going to have a new Pope. And what kind of a leader will there be in the Vatican? Germany is the most powerful nation in Europe, and yet the German people are unhappy with what their government is doing, and it looks like things are not going well in that way. And we've said before, and we will say again several times, I'm sure, that we believe there's going to be a new leader in the elections this fall in Germany. A lot is going on in Europe. And Italy, they just had an election and ended up really with no government at all, so it's very chaotic. The people in Europe sense that a dangerous crisis is looming. They sense that. And they're going to begin to choose leaders that they think can bring them out of this morass and this terrible danger that they're all in. The Bible does have a lot to say about what's going on in Europe today and explains it to us in Bible prophecy. But does this European crisis have anything to do with the abomination of desolation? Because it does relate to what is happening in Europe. Notice Matthew 24, verses 15 and 16. Here is where Christ talked about the abomination. He said, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains." Now, if you look at Revelation 12 and verse 14, you can see that this abomination of desolation is a sign for God's people to flee from around the world and let God protect them from the terrible things that are coming in the great tribulation, which is going to last for two and a half years. And then the dreadful day of the Lord is going to last for a year. So God's people are going to be protected if they have the faith to flee. If they have the faith to flee. So you have to know what the abomination is all about. You have to understand it, or how could you even know when to flee? We obviously have to know what this is all about, what Christ was talking about, what Daniel was talking about. Do you understand what this is all about? Remember, these are Christ's own words. If you have a red-letter Bible, you can see that. But notice it gets worse as time goes on, and we've talked about this verse and these verses several times recently. Verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." So we're looking at the worst suffering ever on this earth. Now it's building before our eyes, and we ought to be able to see that. Then verse 22, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive," the Moffat says, "but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." So the abomination is in the context of no flesh being saved alive. We have to take note of this. This is talking about nuclear bombs when all human life could be destroyed. And Christ knew about it 2,000 years ago and warned about it 2,000 years ago, but I don't really see many people warning about it today when it's staring us in the face. It is something that we're all going to have to deal with, and I think this clearly, when you look at verses 21 and 22, it dates the time when the abomination will come on the scene. And we have to see it, see that abomination of desolation. And when you're in, if you're in Jerusalem, flee for your life. But it also is referring to all of the people around the world that are God's very elect. The Wall Street Journal wrote an article March 5th, 2013, just a few days ago. And it was entitled, Next Steps in Reducing Nuclear Risk. The pace of non-proliferation work today doesn't match the urgency of the threat. There is an urgency here, they say, these men say. And here are the four men that wrote this. George Shultz, William Perry, and Henry Kissinger, all former Secretaries of State, U.S. Secretaries of State, and Sam Nunn, Chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee in the U.S. Now, these prestigious leaders in this article are talking about the very same thing that Jesus Christ was talking about when he was talking about this nuclear proliferation, and it would get so bad that there would be no flesh saved alive unless Christ intervened and stopped it himself. Now, I think most people, leaders, spiritual leaders, are too embarrassed to bring Christ into the picture when they're talking about nuclear proliferation and all of these problems like that. But Christ prophesied that these men would fail in what they're doing. What they're writing about today, Christ said, it isn't going to work. It's going to get worse and worse and worse until we see the worst suffering ever on this earth, and then Christ is going to have to intervene and cut time short and deliver us from ourselves. Isn't that amazing that it's all right there in the Bible and it's being fulfilled today, and still it seems Christian leaders don't really talk about it. Why not? We must, if we're going to follow Christ. Why is it that way? Well, you can look at Mark 13 and verse 14, where it talks about the very same subject, in verses 19 and 20, where it goes right on to tell us to flee from these terrible, terrible things that are coming upon the world. Again, it dates the rise of the abomination and says that we must flee. We must have the faith to flee when we see it. And so you know God's very elect have to understand it very clearly. Or how could they possibly have the faith to flee? It makes no sense, and you and I have to be concerned about our faith. Our faith. Do we have the faith to believe what Jesus Christ talked about? Notice Luke 21 and verse 20. Here's Luke's version of this abomination of desolation, and it gives us a big piece of the puzzle. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation, or the abomination of desolation, thereof is near. This is the physical abomination of desolation that Matthew refers to. God calls these armies surrounding Jerusalem by that name because, as it says in Daniel 12 and verse 11, it is the abomination that makes desolate. So this abomination is about war on this earth, and it's about nuclear war. How serious is that? And Christ tells us in detail what is going to happen and how it's going to happen and who's going to lead this abomination of desolation. All of these critical points Christ explains to us. But how many people believe that? How many people really believe it? Well, you can go on to see in verse 21, it's the same words that I just read to you in Matthew. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. And you can see those in all three of those scriptures I've just given you, that verse is virtually the same. So that's another piece of the puzzle. It is about armies surrounding Jerusalem, but armies from where? And you'd think, well, it's talking about the Arab armies. No, it isn't. This is talking about European armies surrounding Jerusalem. And God says, now when you see that happening, this European power there, you'd better flee for your life, because they have just conquered the king of the south, which happens to be Iran, and all those who follow after Iran. But then they surround Jerusalem, and something very terrible is about to happen. Now, that's all explained in our book on the United States and Britain in Prophecy. Please write for a free copy if you don't have it. You need to understand this. But we think these armies could even be united, very likely might be united even this year, because everything is moving so fast and there's so much chaos in Europe and in the U.S. and most other places in the world, certainly in Europe and in America. So there is another piece of the puzzle that we need to solve, though, and that is a dangerous leader is going to come on the scene, and we have to know when that happens. Look at Daniel 11 and verse 29. And at the time appointed, he, this man, shall return and come toward the south, going down towards Egypt, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter, for the ships of Chittim, this is the Roman fleets coming out to intercept his army, and send them back to where they came from. These ships are going to come against him, Antiochus. Therefore, he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant, go back through Jerusalem and destroy mightily in Jerusalem again. So shall he do. He shall even return and have an intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. In other words, you can always find some traitors to help you. And that's what Antiochus did. Now, anciently, the Roman government just sent their ships and stopped him and said, look, you get back that way. You're not going to Egypt, or we're going to intervene and help Egypt, and you will lose. And so he was very much humiliated and went back through Jerusalem and did all of that destruction. Now, look, the thing that you need to understand here is this, though. Daniel is a book only for the end time. Only for the end time. And so this prophecy is dual. All prophecy, really, essentially, is dual. And this prophecy is dual as well, because there's going to be an end time Antiochus, and he's going to do a lot of destructive things to Israel and Jerusalem, the nations of Israel and Jerusalem. And we have to understand this duality. Mr. Armstrong wrote this in a co-worker letter way back in 1945. He said, even in prophecy, picturing the unfolding of God's plan through the years and millenniums, everything is dual. First the type, later the greater antitype. That's a key to your understanding of the Bible. And that's covered more in detail in our booklet on Isaiah. But those ships intercepted the army going to the south down in Egypt. And actually, this European army is going to stop the king of the south from conquering or just totally ruling Egypt again. And they're going to get control of Egypt, that is the king of the north, or that European army that we've been talking about that's called the abomination that makes desolate. Notice verse 31 of Daniel 11. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice offered at the temple, and they shall place the abomination that makes desolate. So there, here we find the Bible's first reference to the abomination of desolation. I'm reading from our booklet on Daniel. Consider the scene as Daniel describes it. Moffat says, armed forces shall be set on foot by Antiochus. It is talking about an army in Jerusalem. This army is what makes Jerusalem desolate. It desecrates the holy place and takes away the daily, or the work. In this case, this happened in 167 B.C. But it is dual. It is dual. Notice verse 21, In his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now this is all for this end time. That's what you have to understand. It is dual. That is only a type of what is going to happen in this end time. And this great leader, Antiochus type, or leader of the abomination that makes desolate, is going to come into office. They're not going to give him the office. He's going to come in and win it by flatteries. Some kind of a political coalition is established, and he comes out as the winner. And he's going to lead that terrible, terrible army that's going to be leaving nations desolate. That's what your Bible says. Now, that's also covered in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. Let me read to you just a little from our booklet on Daniel, Unsealed at Last. Quote, in 168 B.C., Antiochus pillaged and desecrated the Jews' temple in Jerusalem. Throughout the turbulent changes of its past history, Werner Keller writes in The Bible is History, Israel had been spared none of the horror and ignominy which could befall a nation. But never before, neither under the Assyrians nor under the Babylonians, had it received such a blow as the edict issued by Antiochus Epiphanes, by which he hoped to crush and destroy the faith of Israel. He wanted to destroy their religion and everything they believed. You see, but he was only a type of what is going to happen in this end time. Notice verse 24. Here's what's coming. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. In this end time we will witness another force that enters into the Holy Land peaceably, but like Antiochus, the leader of this end time peacekeeping force will not really want peace. He's going to be interested in massacring people. And there's going to be a great double cross. It's talked about in the book of Ezekiel and explained in our booklet on Ezekiel. But I wanted to just mention that this vision from, let's say, mainly just from Daniel 10 through Daniel 12 is all one vision. And it shows the outcome of all of this, and it really is good news, but there's a lot of bad news before the good news. And the good news is going to last forever. Notice verse 1 of chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. There's never been anything like this nuclear holocaust that's coming. So says your Bible. It's the worst time of suffering ever because of the nuclear bombs. The verse continues, even to that same time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered, God, every one that shall be found written in the book. This is a physical deliverance. God is going to deliver His people physically here from all this worst suffering ever. That's what this all means, and it's explained in our booklet on Daniel. But it's talking about the great tribulation, and then following on the heels of that is the day of the Lord, and both of them last 3.5 years. Verse 3, notice the good news, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Isn't that amazing that those people who are out there turning people to God, turning people to righteousness, are going to shine like the brightness of the firmament and like the stars forever and ever? Now, how about that for a reward for helping God get His message out to the world today? That's exactly what it means. And it's the best news you could ever possibly read. It's just wonderful. Notice verse 7. And here we see about the 3.5 years, the great tribulation in the day of the Lord. It shall be for a time, times and a half. That means 3.5 years. It's explained in our booklet. And then verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. The wise are going to understand. Now, there are some people on this earth that's going to understand the book of Daniel. They're going to understand about the abomination of desolation. They're going to understand all these prophecies of Jesus Christ. They have to understand the abomination of desolation, from which the very elect must flee, run. When God says run, when they see that those armies surrounding Jerusalem, that's the sign to get out of wherever you are and let God protect you, and in a place that He will show has to be where it is. We don't even know where that is today. But there has to be a place. You can read that also in Revelation 12 and verse 14. Then on down in verse 11, and from that time that the daily, or the work of God, shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now look at that. We're getting into a time where when God takes His work away, or His people away, to protect them from all of this, then that abomination is set up, and we're then begin to count the 1,290 days leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. That's when these people are taken away, it's getting close to the end, but you can count down to the end, and it's 1,290 days from that point. Then verse 12 says, blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. So there's a 1,335 days before Jesus Christ returns to this earth. And you have to begin to do a little calculating here. But it is getting to the point where God says we're going to count the days from two different points here. And you need our booklet on Daniel to understand that. And all of our literature is free, so please write for this material if you don't have it. You need it, and time is of the essence. Time is urgent, extremely so. Verse 13, but go you your way till the end be, for you shall rest and stand in your lot at the end of the days. At the end of the days. Now, if you want to know more about this man who's leading all of this, you can read that in our booklet on Daniel as well. It talks about that in Daniel 8, and where this a king of fierce countenance is going to rise, And he's going to be not only working with his own power, but he's going to have the power of the devil there to support him. And he's going to do a lot of destructive things. And if you go on and read in verse 25, it talks about Jesus Christ returning and destroying that empire forever. It's going to be destroyed forever, and Jesus Christ is going to set up his rule on this earth and rule it and bring it the peace and joy and happiness that we all seek and should have been having a long time ago, except we've continued to rebel. When we stop that and begin to obey God, then it's all good news, and that's wonderful. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
For more information on today's program, please request our free booklets, Daniel Unsealed at Last and Nahum Prophecy for Germany. You'll also receive our free reprint article on Matthew 24, which is Christ's most pivotal prophecy. The abomination of desolation is a prophetic subject that many Bible scholars have puzzled over. What is this abomination of desolation? You'll see from today's literature the history and future prophecy of this abomination. It's extremely urgent that you understand this prophecy. Also, ask for a free subscription to our monthly news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. Don't miss our newest issue, which gives much insight into the dangerous state of the U.S. economy. This is an issue you can't afford to miss. Also, visit us online at thetrumpet.com for daily columns and news update videos. There you'll see our From the Editor section, which includes weekly web-exclusive videos from Key of David presenter Gerald Fleury. Please request our free booklets, Daniel Unsealed at Last and Nahum Prophecy for Germany. You'll also receive our free reprint article on Matthew 24, which is Christ's most pivotal prophecy. In addition, we'll also send you a free subscription to the Trumpet magazine. All our literature is free and will be sent to you with no cost or obligation. Order your free literature now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. To watch the program online, visit us at keyofdavid.com. If you'd prefer to write, send your request to The Key of David, Post Office Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.